Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brandy J, and thank you so much for tuning in. Today's episode is a special episode, as all of them are. I have a great guest, Queen Antifa, a friend of mine from the TikTok community, and she's here with me today to talk about what's on our minds. How do we feel, our opinions, our thoughts on what's going on today? Now, as you know, if you listened to my last show I did with some TikTok creators, Queen Antifa was one of the ladies from the circle. And she's back today because we appreciate being able to communicate and talk versus badgering, bullying, and name-calling and shaming and just tearing each other apart as if you had no home training, because that's what's going on in the world today, and we choose not to. And so we hope that we can help be part of the solution and not the problem, because if we don't start talking and versus violence and disrespect, then I guess this would all be a waste of time. So where do you stand in all of this, and how do you choose to communicate your voice? Because it matters. Even if the cause is good, doesn't mean the message is being delivered very well. So let's tune in, and thank you once again. This is Brandy Days. Hey there, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This is Brandy J, Voices of Courage 2020 Rise. And today I have with me a returning guest that was from our roundtable topic with TikTok creators. I have with me the Miss Queen Antifa. Or,
hi.
Well, not or. This is Queen Antifa today here. You know, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. I am very well, and so stoked that, you know, we could come together and talk about something that people need to hear and understand. And to me, that's important versus just talking and then having negative commentary going back and forth.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Because I always think, what's the point? Where are we going with this? Are we trying to go, you know, make change? Or are we just going to go back and forth and insult, you know?
Right. I definitely prefer to have, I prefer to handle things in a conversational way than in a debate type of way. Like, I don't think that it needs to be like point, counterpoint, argument. I think that when you look at it that way, then you're going to disagree and you're going to go at each other. But I think if you can find the commonalities and have a conversation, that's where real growth comes.
Definitely. And then especially with the topics at that, like if it has to be deal with someone's, if they're deceased, you know what I mean? Like certain things, mm-hmm. It shouldn't even be a debate about, like, who was wrong, who was right, especially if they're deceased. That's just, you know, yeah. The end of it there, because no one should have to die when it comes to the things that we deal with in the world.
Exactly.
That's when there's a problem, when death is involved. So, yeah, the value of life, basically, what it comes down to, people's very lives.
Yeah.
Like, what do you have to do to live?
It's, it's so pervasive in every area. It's a big focus is on police brutality with black men, but if you want to look at medical care for black women, you can see
Oh,
that
yeah.
more black women die during childbirth, and like
Yep, very true.
we need to not forget that it's not just black men that are affected here.
That is very true, and I appreciate you bringing that up because no one, and sometimes I don't think it's even like willful, filling. You said we need to remember. It's just that
Right.
we don't think it because it's so based around, black men that we don't even focus in because no one really makes it a topic, and we need to start making it a topic. It came
Yeah.
to me. It came to me, and I'm a black woman. And it came to me, and I evaluated my own medical care and what I have been told or how I've been handled. And my mom passed away, and I don't think that she, and it basically had a lot to do with the care that she got or
Right.
did not get.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. So yeah, that's something that does need to be brought to the forefront. And
It, yeah.
from what from someone looking in and you not even being, African American, that shows that you don't have to be a certain race to empathize or understand or see it.
No,
Ooh.
absolutely not. I always joke about being like the basic white girl, but like that is me. I was raised in a very traditional southern conservative household. Like if I liked pumpkin, that would be the way that I would be the most like I just don't like pumpkin spice. That's the only difference.
That's funny. That's
Yeah.
so funny. Because I like
So
pumpkin
that's
too. And some people are like, black people like sweet potato. I'm like, well, I like pumpkin. Now
Yeah, it's that's I mean, you don't want to play into racial stereotypes, but sometimes they're funny with the like pumpkin spice.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then it just takes, sometimes people just take it and grows into a life of its own.
Right.
Yeah, most definitely. So for you, from a person looking in, what is it that you see when it comes to the how black women are treated, or medically, or just our lives in general? Because I know that we are one, and nobody wants to sound like a victim or anything like that. So, well, I
Right.
am, but we're the most, disliked, disrespected, unprotected, even by our own.
Right. That's something that
And
I see on TikTok in particular is the amount of aggression that black women get for existing, for nothing else in existing.
yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
And yeah, so for me, it's seeing that on TikTok, but it's also having been in the I don't know, like having gone through childbirth and situations like that, you realize like I can see how I was treated, and then I can listen to somebody else who tells me that's not their experience and believe them. Because this year I learned that in the medical community, there is still a myth that is sometimes taught in schools that black people do not feel pain the same way as white people.
Yep, I learned that this year too, 2020.
And to me, that's astounding.
Yeah, very astounding. Yeah, and people need
And
to understand that that's not okay to have that thought because we are
right.
human.
Exactly. And so when for me, I just don't understand how somebody can hear something like that and not immediately be outraged. Like, how is it 2020? And every medical study, every all of this stuff, all of the medical knowledge that we have was either obtained by illegally testing on people, or it was studying white males.
Yeah, true, true.
That are you can't have an entire medical knowledge based around a singular group of people and expect it to work for
Right.
everybody.
Very true. When you had said about experimenting or testing, I wrote down the books. I need to go look them up. But they spoke about how they would test on Black women, and they had that same theory that they said something about having thicker skin, and they truly believed that there was something within us that could take more pain than someone else, and I thought that was pretty morbid.
And there, we've seen that on TikTok
Oh yeah, definitely.
with Black creators not getting shown, with Indigenous creators not getting shown. All of these groups of people who aren't getting shown on the For You page or even in, following pages, they're just not showing up.
Yep, it's very true.
And that's even as a computer, you can't say, well, it's not biased. It was
Exactly.
written by people.
Yeah, because my stuff doesn't show up anywhere anymore. Like, I'll check it and it's just like nobody's, like, it's not doing anything. I don't see people anymore. Certain people I used to be able to see.
And there's some of it's like glitches in TikTok where I don't know about the following and unfollowing. Like you'll follow a creator and then the next time you see their video on your For You page, you've unfollowed them, but you haven't.
Exactly.
I think stuff like that's glitches, but you never
You never
know.
know. TikTok is very tricky. It's like they want to use the content, but then they want to manipulate it.
I mean, honestly, isn't that what we've done? Isn't that what we've done to Black people since you got here?
Right? Exactly.
We take what you have and manipulate it into something that's friendly for us.
Exactly.
We take away the flavor and the spice and everything that makes it
Yep.
good.
Just nobody wants to like say, say it, People get mad when you want to do this, you want to do it, but then you get mad when someone catches on and they say it. It's like, well, forgive me for having common sense. But yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. Thank you for being a good sport, and if things keep looking iffy, I hope that you're up for going to a different platform, because I have a if we did have to, if you know how we used that platform last time, but we'll use just audio. Okay, just if it goes in that direction, because they're not going to shut me up. Yeah. At all. Yeah. But this is like a prime example of everything, like just it's medical, it's in everything. And back to the medical part of us not feeling pain, it really was sickening to me. And what people don't pick up on is I tell people, listen to the words people use. Like when it comes to police, right? Some people just see the fury of like, they're killing us, they're killing people. And then I could see that and still look at it as, but what's processing in your brains? Because if you pay attention to some of these encounters they show, you could see ones that kind of have some type of look, or like what gets you, what have they done to you to get you programmed this way? And they use the word dehumanize a lot. And that's a thinking. You have to actually think that and believe that. You've been programmed, you've been told that.
But it's not a conscious thought. It's not that they think, it's not that they think consciously like, oh, Black people are subhuman.
Right.
It's such an ingrained process of like of these little things that amount to, okay, that but you're putting them at a subhuman place. But
Exactly.
they don't make that connection in their head.
Yep.
Well, it's because it just seems so inherently true to them.
Yep. And that's why I try to explain to people, it's beyond what we are seeing here. It's mental. It's like just like how hatred and stuff is like taught.
Right.
You know, you can unlearn it. You know what I mean? We get to a certain point in life where we see, we know when something's wrong. But if you're not in an environment where you can be nurtured to accept it and then unlearn it, when you keep adding to the, just like right, like now, and with, I'm not even going to say his name, with Mr. You Know Who. You know, he's not helping it. He's adding to it versus getting,
for sure,
taking leadership and saying, let's do something about this. Let's bring about, let's show some love to the world. Let's nurture, let's fix this. And it can be done. You know, I just don't understand. And for me, I see it because the other day, someone, lady was just like, I'll die for him. And right then and there, I just dropped my pen and I said, well, I said, exactly. That something's not right. Something's not connecting for these people. Yeah. They're mindlessly. They're not there all the way. They are like, he can say anything and they're just like, you know, some kind of control. Something's way deeper is going on here. And it's scary. It's very scary.
It's honestly the parallels between Trump and Hitler are, and I don't say that lightly. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, that's Hitler stuff. Like, it's legitimately the way that fascists or dictators come to power is by normalizing behavior.
Exactly.
normalize, escalate. Mm-hmm. And so by the time, and that's exactly what he's been doing. So this whole election process, he's already put it in that this is going to be a rigged election.
Exactly.
So no matter, it does not matter if he is not the person who wins, then there's going to be chaos.
Yep.
Because his following, his base, will not support a Biden win because they're going to say that it was. And that's something that dictators do that is specifically messing with our election.
Oh, yeah. So true. Because he, to me, it was like he put it out there and then it's happening. It's like people don't pay attention that he said it. You know what I mean? And then...
Right.
And then turned around and said, it's rigged. I'm like,
yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't, shit like this doesn't just happen like that. It was a process, and, you know, and slowly, you know, happening and conditioning it. And people are just, you know, it becomes normal. And you're right, he's normalizing it. And we don't even realize it. Like, we're waiting for this big bang. It's like, no, it's like it's happening right now that we're just going to slowly maneuver, you know what I mean? Like that, you know, right into it. We don't have to willful, and we're doing it now.
Yeah.
By accepting everything.
Just look at the difference between, like, if Donald Trump, if he acted in 2016 the way that he does now, there's nobody that would have voted for him.
Mm-mm. Nope.
He would have looked like he was, you know, crazy. Like, he gone out of his tree,
right? Like I look at him now.
Right. Us on this side, the way that we always have seen him, you know, that's the way that people would have looked at him in 2016 who are now supporting other countries by buying his merchandise.
Exactly. It's crazy. Even like other like black people, and they just like really sucked in by him. And just like you said, if he would have acted this way in 2016, and then they're like, well, he did this and he did that. And I was like, well, of course, he had to win some people over. You know what I mean? You can't just right off the way, just be like, you know, just, you know, come in acting that way. He had to support some, you know, black, you know, this and that. And to get you in there to make think that he's for you, but he's actually you know, lying to you, manipulating you, but in the same manner, like saying, you know, I mean, he calls us his black people, like if we're something, he uses all these slurs and, you know, he's not racist. Well, if he's not freaking racist, then don't use racist comments, sir. You know, you know what I mean?
Right.
My blacks, the China, you know, these names he has for people. And it's like, how can you say that he is not racist when all he does is insult you? You know, I've had black people tell me.
If you have to say, I'm the least racist person in this room, then you are racist.
Exactly.
There's not a call into question of people who aren't racist.
Exactly. It's like, you have to say that, then it's like, and then in this room, you don't even know everybody in this room, sir.
Right? That's like me as a white person, I will fully admit I was a racist. I was never openly, hatefully racist, but I did not have an understanding of... I was not raised around black people. So I've had that white girl, small town, you know, I don't have a problem with black people. I have a black friend, but you don't actually care about their day-to-day lives.
Right.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the reason that college makes people liberal, which is, I'm using that in air quotes, but college allows you to experience other cultures. And when you experience other people's cultures, then I personally think that you have more acceptance and understanding.
Very much.
And I think that's why, because a lot of people who, I wouldn't say a lot of people, but when people don't go to college, some people stay in little small towns that they've never left. And it creates a vacuum of knowledge for them. And they will never see another person's perspective because they've never had to.
Exactly. Exactly. That's very important. And it's funny you say that too about going off to college, because I remember in elementary, I was where I was raised, the community I was raised in, it was African Americans and Hispanics. I knew one Indian boy. I knew him all the way from kindergarten up to junior high. And I, but before that, you know, we were still in elementary. And then I knew, had a best friend that she just happened to live in that neighborhood. They were white, you know, but there was like no others. And then there was one girl in our school. Her name was Donna, only white girl in her school. So it was that time to, you know, everybody stayed in that neighborhood and went to the next school. But I told my mom and dad, I said, I don't want to. I said, I want to go to another school, like out of this neighborhood. I want to meet other people. I had that own thinking. For some reason, I wanted to meet other cultures, other people, be around different people versus staying within my setting. And I don't know where that curiosity came from. And maybe it was because I had that one white friend and that Indian, you know what I mean? That my Indian friend. And I wanted to, my personality in general, wanted to be around other people. And I think that's very important, because that you say that we expose ourselves and our children to other cultures and people. So when they get older, you know what I mean? They can have that understanding and be able to function in the world, you know, and sometimes that's people's demise just in their careers, is not being exposed to other cultures and people.
Right.
And they don't know how to receive it.
My son is 4. And so we're just now getting to that age where he's paying attention to stuff. So the other day he came home from school. He goes to preschool. And he came home and he said that his friend was dark brown and he was light brown. And I didn't know what to say, because it's like, okay, if that's how you see it, then like that's how you see it. I'm not gonna, like, no, you're white, you're not brown at all.
Right. Like, see, it's
it just
color.
Tickled me.
Yeah, that's cute.
He doesn't see it as being like a different thing. It's just, he is what I am, just darker.
Right, exactly.
And for him, that's the way his brain works.
It's kind of like when you have, always, especially teaching, you take it back to like paper. You have this paper, you have yellow paper, you have blue paper. You know, it's all paper. Yeah. It's all different beautiful colors. I tell the kids, it's just pretty colors of the rainbow. We all just are beautiful. You know? So yeah, that's that. I mean, but that shows too, he's, you know, they pay attention and they see these things, and it's up to us how we can maneuver that or allow them just to adapt and receive stuff instead of manipulating it and turn it into something morbid.
And it is very important. Growing up the way that I did and being so sheltered, and I grew up very religiously, which I'm not anymore. So just growing up that way, and then my husband had a totally different experience, because he grew up in a bigger city and went to, it was a private school, but it was in the inner city. So it was more like diverse than my school was for sure. And he had like legitimate black friends. Like he grew up going to black cookouts.
Hell of a cookout.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
So it's important. It's important
you.
For us to raise our son in a way that is reflective of being respectful of all people's cultures.
Exactly. And wanting it ourselves too. If we didn't have it, then we come to an age where if you want to know something, you know, that's why I call it sometimes willingful ignorance. So like if you want to learn something, then you have that ability, you have to seek it yourself. Some people have no desires. They don't want to go out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
That's definitely experience that I've had personally within my family is that there are situations where you have to change your opinion or change your viewpoint because your viewpoint may not be healthy.
All right.
And the way that you do things may not be healthy. And mental health is another thing that I'm really passionate about because of my own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a whole other.
Yeah, it is, but definitely, and it goes like under the radar, or it's not really talked about or put out there, or people feel shamed, they don't feel comfortable, and it's like people might realize a lot more that more people have mental health issues than they think, and we try to, you know, like label and make people feel a certain way because they do, and it's like more of us have it more than we know, and it's quite normal.
Yeah, I think it should be a requirement that everybody sees a therapist at least like once in their life.
Oh yeah, for like, sure.
Not even just for like if you're struggling or
just to check in.
Having a therapy said, yeah, just. Sometimes just being able to talk to somebody who knows how to respond appropriately, because like everybody has their support group, their friend group, their family that they vent to or talk to, but a therapist knows
how to handle
the actual like healthy ways to process through whatever you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. That's very true. And that's a whole nother like area too, where people, when it comes to mental health and actually like getting a therapist or a psychiatrist or something, there's like this whole stigma with it. And I'm like, dude, this is things to help yourself. And people feel like something's wrong with you if you want to go talk to somebody, or some people have been like raised, you know, like we don't talk about our problems or what's wrong with you, and it's like, well, I mean, I don't understand it. It's okay, because I know a lot of black people too will be like, I don't talk to nobody, let's talk to everyone, talk to obviously you do, so this is clear, we all do.
Yeah, my husband he's actually a firefighter and he was in the Marine Corps. So he also has that veteran status. So also keeping, you know, veterans and the people at risk, you know, keeping them in mind and making sure that they're taken care of.
Yes. And it pisses me off too. I get really pissed off when veterans aren't treated the way they need to be treated. Like, you should be set for life to be able to get what you need. Your mental, your health, your medical, and all this stuff for the things you've been through, you've seen, and you served your country. The least it can do is make sure you live comfortably. And it pisses me off to see homeless veterans or veterans struggling to get care and all that. It's like, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Because you're doing things that certain people over you weren't willing to do. So.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating when you have people who cast judgment on people who are homeless and have animosity towards them, but it's not usually, it's more life circumstances that make people homeless.
Yep, it can happen to anyone. Yep.
So it's, you know, it's just not like people think that like, oh, you must be a crackhead. Like that's how you lost your house or.
Right.
But it was like, okay, well, maybe they didn't start doing drugs until after they hit the street. Like you don't know this person's story. You're not there to judge them. You're there to help them. Because
it's so crazy you say this. It's so crazy because I had this whole talk the other day. The same thing you're saying. And it was based off a story that my son told me about someone important in his life. I'm not going to say who, but told him, looked at a homeless person and said, if you don't get it together and keep doing and stay in school and focus on your studies, that'll be you. And when he told me that, I said, what? I was like, any one of us can have an experience and that could be us. I said, there's plenty of educated people that went to school, got a degree and all that. They're on the streets. Anybody right. could be homeless. They could have lost their house, their bad divorce, lost their money, anything. But you can't just determine all homeless. If you're on the streets, then you must have been some kind of, you know, now there are some of those. You know what I mean? But for the most part, you can't judge, and you just don't know someone's situation. I didn't appreciate when that person told him that. I found it offensive towards homeless people on the street for the simple fact that it can happen to any of us. And I think that plays that part of how people look upon them and kind of just like, ugh, you know, when you see them on the streets versus like you want to help them or it's just really messed up. Like they need to get a job. Well, they should do this. Well, they should do that. Yeah. You know, and it's like, okay, one day, God giveth, he taketh. I mean, you know, it could be you. So, you know, and then you're going to be talking a different tune. So I just don't appreciate it when it pisses me off when people have that thinking.
Yeah. And the same goes for people who work at McDonald's or janitors or any other job that people decide is less than. Like, those people are doing a job that you won't do. Like, if you're going to McDonald's, they're making food that you yourself are choosing not to make for yourself. They're doing a service that you are too lazy to do. And you're going to tell them that they don't deserve to get paid for it?
Right.
You're going to disrespect their job?
Exactly.
Like, they're doing your job for you. It's your job to feed yourself. You're paying somebody else to do it. Like,
right. You're wanting their service, but they don't deserve to get paid.
Right. Like, make that make sense.
Exactly. And it does it. There's no logic. Half of this world is just, there's no logic. And to me, the basis in a healthy foundation is truth, logic, ethics, and kind of honesty. Like, there's these, you know what I mean? These basic, you know, things. And if it doesn't fall into those, and definitely logic has to be definitely a part of it. And there's no logic, then boop, there you go. And it doesn't make sense, right? So you start there.
Right.
You know, and truth, you know, logic and truth. And I think ethics, you know, plays a big part in just our world in general and our thinking and just like all of it.
Yeah.
You know, honesty, that's truth. And if it doesn't make sense, throw it out.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense. It pisses me off. And people are acting irate and crazy and have all these opinions, but none of it makes sense. So now, like, we're wasting our time when people are out here dying and struggling.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
People tend to not realize when they vote the ramifications of their vote. And a lot of Republicans vote against their own self-interest.
Right, makes no sense.
No. It's because they just don't understand the way that it works. Because they want a common enemy. They want somebody that they have something over. And this is not, you know, this is Republicans or whatever. This is just a common theme that I've seen. Is that they just want the biggest appeal that Trump has is that he hates the same people they hate. Because if they don't have somebody to hate, if they don't have somebody to put their aggression out on, then they would have to accept the fact that the things that are wrong in their life were their choices.
Exactly. Perfectly and, said.
Yeah, because I work hard and, you know, I earn my stuff and I did this and I pulled myself up by the bootstraps and da-da-da-da-da. But those are still the same people that are talking, you know, I'm a hardworking American, but you still can't make ends meet. The amount of effort, the amount of work that you put into this country does not equal what you get back from it.
Nope.
For anybody. Well, for anybody except white males. Rich white.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. And this becomes people's actually thinking, like they mm-hmm. actually really think this. And it's like that's not how it works. And I don't know.
If you have a group of people and you allow them to get so low to the point that we have let people in our country get, like, of course they're not going to be sane because they're not in it. Living in a situation where you're having to live paycheck to paycheck and you don't know how you're going to feed your kids this week, like, and that's everybody. It's not racial. It's nothing. It's just, there are too many poor people in this country for it to be such a rich country.
Exactly. Because it's not, and you think about it, it's not even, it's because it's a rich country. It's freaking the rich that are rich.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the people, the ones that make the country, there's the ones that are not, and it's the people that run the country. It's all about them. I'm like, how rich can you be? You have money. Can we have some too?
Right.
But no, they got to use us to be rich. Because rich people don't work.
That's my thing. Like the amount of effort that you put in does not matter. You can have people who work physically demanding jobs who get paid less than somebody who sits in an office, but is the intellectual effort that the person sitting in the office contributing more than the physical effort that this person is doing, like a farmer? And so figuring out how to pay people appropriately is difficult.
Yeah. Yep. Because there's no ethics when they do it. They don't put value and ethics, into it.
Yeah, that's my personal problem with capitalism, is that when you put money first, people put money first.
Yep.
And capitalism is a whole other situation.
Right? You know, all these situations, I do that too. I'm like, when I'm on my show, I'm like, that's a whole nother,
right?
You know, situation we'll get to if we break it down.
My brain just goes like a million miles an hour.
Yes, it does. Because there's so many issues. There's so many of them. And then it doesn't help when the people actually, they're conditioned to accept them or to feel like, well, we can't do anything. Or they just, you know, there's so many that you'll tell somebody these things and they'll be like, well, there's nothing we can do about it, or nothing can be done. And that's a freaking lie. Just as bad as things can get, it means that it can be just as good, because all it takes is for people to get their shit together and do the right thing. It doesn't take a lot. You have to be willing to do the right thing. And that just shows you there's a lot of people that aren't willing to do it. And person's going to treat you how you allow them to treat you. So if you don't say anything and feel like you have no power, then what are you doing? And why? I'm not saying don't vote. Right. Then what is your? Why do you vote then if you don't feel like you have no power? Because they want your vote, and they damn sure haven't done anything to earn it. Mm. You need to start holding people accountable and make them earn our vote. Like, give us what we need to No, because we don't all win. Like, everybody should be considered. Your people that are homeless, people that are struggling, you should be wanting to make your country better and put things in place so people can achieve these things. You know what I mean? They have a chance. There are going to be people that don't receive it. Okay, if you want to live your life that way, fine. But make it accessible for people to be able to grow and to have pursuit of happiness and liberty, all that stuff you say we're about, that we're not.
Yeah.
We're not about any of that. We're not united or any of that shit.
No.
Yeah. United States, where? Independence with liberty and justice for all? I mean, come on, let's stop playing games here and go in there and change that, because that's not working for this country. That's a lie.
You can literally just, like, every time it says all, just mark it out and say white men. White men.
Exactly. Because we're selling a dream. You know how they call it the American dream? You labeled it right. Because people come over here on that notion.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, we're full of shit over here.
Yeah, and I don't want to just, like, hate on white men. I want to point out that white women are the most, benefited from affirmative action.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's
not
just, it's, I fully recognize that even with my gender not giving me a privilege, I still have white privilege. So, like, so even though, like, okay, so me and you both being women, we're on this separate playing field from the men. But then we're further divided because then you're put on a different playing field because you're black, you know?
Right.
And it's, we need to understand that each playing field has its own issues that we need to work through, but we have to remember that we all have to do it together.
Yep. We're still trying to do things separate and causing a division. And it's like, the problem in the first place is that all of us, you know, that's when I do my show, I always say I'm not talking to, even if about a certain situation, just a group or a race. I'm talking to the human race.
Right, yeah.
You know, and to get better, we can't divide ourselves more and be like, well, they. So we have to, you know what I mean? How do we get ourselves right? You know, and it's like, that's the problem is the division. We need to come together because we need a common understanding because we live here all together. We're in this together, if you like it or not. And it pisses me off when people say we're not, because then, well, then if we're not in it all together, why is this a world catastrophe? Why is, you know what I mean? Yeah. Why is this happening? Why are we feuding with each other? That means we're in it together. What happens was what it affects the rest of us.
Yeah.
When we vote on our own selfish needs or because of a tax rate or something like that, you are affecting, okay, yes, you do have the right to decide, you know what I mean, who you want to vote for and why, but also you have to remember, you know what I mean, as a human being that respects yourself and your value of life, then that means you should respect everybody else's, that you need to consider see, people are so selfish in America. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to consider everybody, because the crazy part is it'll come back on you too. So how you vote it, you know, just like how they're thinking, looking at Donald Trump, like he's wanting to do stuff like, who cuts healthcare? You're taking away things that help people live. You're not taking away stuff like, you know what I mean, that are hurting people or that's not healthy. Like healthcare, who the freak takes away social care? These are things that help people live. So basically you're saying you want people to be without and have no way to take care of themselves and to be healthy.
Right.
And then you support it. And then when you wake up, Social Security's gone. Well, there's a lot of people of different races on Social Security. You screwed yourself. All that stuff affects him too. Do you not hear? He just said he didn't say he's going to take it away, but keep it for you guys right here.
Yeah.
He doesn't even care about you guys. He's using you to carry out his agenda. If he cared about you, he wouldn't put you in such danger.
Right. That's,
you know?
It's so, like, it's just mind-boggling to me that people don't see the truth about Trump. Like, these people
that, and he's telling you,
defend him, and, like, I just, the words escape me to describe
Exactly. It's baffling. I get so perturbed. I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Make it
Is it something
make sense.
I'm not seeing? Yeah. I was like, am I the person that's not seeing something? Should I be on the Trump? And I really was trying to figure it out. Like, check. I really pay attention to him because I'm like, maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, no.
And I'm like, nope, I'm not. Because I listen, I don't watch the news. People are like, well, you need to stop watching the news. It's fake news. I'm like, I'm pretty sure his voice, I was looking at his mouth move. It came out of his mouth. Anything I know about Donald Trump, I don't talk about all the things that are going on with him if I personally haven't heard certain stuff. So I stay away from it.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, because I don't want to be that person just poking at stuff and I can't carry through it with a point I'm trying to make. I stick to what I know.
Right.
And what I know is I've only went off of what came out of his mouth at all times. If I didn't hear it come out of his mouth, I might think it, like he probably did say it because I've heard him say some things. But anything I've taken from Trump, I have done it the right way and watched him and listened to him. It's never been through the media because I know that they will, you know, lie and try to, but he doesn't make it hard for anybody to do it. So,
yeah.
You know, but I know they still use it to manipulate, you know, carry through with their agenda. So I have to get it just from him. And so when people say that he's not racist, he's not that, I'm like, did you listen? We are listening to the same person here, right? Because if he's not, then why does he say racial things? Like very harsh things.
Yeah, well,
if he, why does he have racist people supporting him the way they do?
Right, Proud Boys.
Right. That's, so I was like, come on.
If something that you say can be used as a rallying cry for white supremacists, you're racist. Like, bottom line.
Yep. He does nothing to stop it.
Yeah.
But he'll deny he had anything to do with it and that I don't even know who they are. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Like, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
You're not holding accountability for, and so you're not wrong about, he's not wrong for any of the things that's been said about him or the things that he said. No, but now he didn't do that. He didn't do that. I mean, that's why I know somebody's full of shit. Because if somebody's not guilty of all the things that people say they are, there's some things that a person will be like, okay, you know, I did do that. You know, that's true. But he doesn't take accountability, and his supporters be like, he didn't do that. I've had a whole argument with a whole other black person. And I said, I'll never do this again because he never got to the end. They'll circle around everything else, mm-hmm. but the original question, because they cannot answer it. So they'll try to trick you with all this other bullshit. Well, he did this for that person. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, the devil is not going to come right out and be like, I'm the devil and show you just to say if he had horns.
Yeah.
Say, I'm the devil. You know what I mean? He's going to lure you and try to appeal to you and come up maybe even charming, and which he is not. That just, he just showed the true colors of people. That's what he did. And
Hitler didn't come in the day before World War II and be like, hey guys, you know what, it's a good idea. No, it was years of slow manipulation. Like, that's,
yep.
But people don't understand that that's what it is. They're being manipulated. They have this strength of character thing that they have to live up to, that they could never be duped. They could never fall for that. You know, they wouldn't have supported Hitler, but we can see now, like, it, history is repeating itself. And I'm not saying that he would be at the level that Trump or that Hitler was, but I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, because they're sure giving him the, you know what I mean, the platform to do it. You know, you could say he's enjoying it.
Right.
He's the epitome of narcissism.
Yeah.
His face should be right next to it. He takes no accountability. He will never apologize. And he did everything.
Right.
That he had nothing to do with, but he'll take credit for
mm-hmm.
it. Sickening.
He really is.
Another prime example, though, of someone that was ingrained. This is how even the book. I love TikTok because this girl ordered the book and she freaking read it to us. And she's such a good storyteller. But it talked about him. It explained everything about him to a T and why it is the way he is and everything it had in there. It just showed what was right in front of us. Like, he was raised this way to be this way. He never was held accountable. You know what I mean? And obviously we know now that the money was, you know, from his dad, and he's poor. He's very, he's not, it's what it looks like to me, he's not really good when it comes to financial
things.
He seems pretty
That's
careless. What did it say, businessman? Show me where, just because he gave some tax breaks.
The thing, like, he has, that is white male privilege just, like, wrapped up in a bow. Because it's because of who, what his name is, that people are willing to loan him $400 million or whatever it is. Like, you find, you know, Joe Schmo on the street, he's not going to get a loan for that.
No, and he might be more likely to pay you back than Trump. Because Trump, he has a line of people that he owes money. He just won't do it. He's just, I don't care.
Joe down here on the street's at least paid more in taxes, for sure.
This fool said, well, you know how he does that hand. He's, I always watch his hands and stuff. He's like, $750. I paid more than that. I overpaid, actually, which is what they say. And if you don't have any common sense, you're going to actually think he's saying something. If you listen to him, he's not, he's really uneducated.
He does not.
He said he paid over, he paid too much taxes. I'm like, well, that's not the case here. And if that was true, because you know how much he's full of himself, he would have been glad to show his taxes.
He thinks that paying $1 is too much in paying taxes.
So nobody's worth money to him, basically. Nobody's worthy of, you know, you use people and you don't even, like, want to, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Give, you know, treat them as what they've done. You know, it's kind of like they're nothing to you. Just do the work.
That is exactly how a narcissist, that's exactly how a narcissist views people. They're actually called flying monkeys. That's the term that's used for people who support narcissists. Because they...
That's crazy.
Yeah. There are people who are basically under the spell of narcissist.
Yeah. And that says a lot for a person that can be under this spell of a narcissist, because I did like a show, but I was doing research as I did the show, and the levels and the diagnosis of a narcissist, the different levels it had, and it explains so much how they go from 0 to 100 on, like, when they deal with people, it's like they like you or you're the worst person on the planet.
Yeah.
So you know how he is. He'll deal with you. And then if you don't, like Fauci, if you don't fit his agenda, you're out of here. I hate you. I don't like you. You know, versus like finding a middle ground. Like, okay, you know, I'm a little upset with you or something like that. If you don't do as they say, now you're the worst, the shittiest person ever.
And it's, being in a flying monkey position is pretty terrible. Because there's the constant anxiety of, am I doing this right? Am I going to be in trouble? Am I making that person happy? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? So there's this constant fear of messing up or making the person unhappy. So you do everything for this person to try and make sure that they're not upset with you. So that's why he has blind supporters. It's because they're so scared of him that it's easier to give him what he wants, because the attention or it's called love bombing in like narcissism, but it's basically like when a narcissist shows a flying monkey a lot of affection to kind of reel them back in, or it just boosts, it's the serotonin boost.
Yeah.
And
it makes them more fearful of them disappointing them again.
Yeah.
Part of their manipulation, I guess,
right.
Basically.
It is, very much so. Been in the spectrum of classes, you know. Well, not the spectrum, because I've never been like uber rich, but I grew up, you know, like hot dog, ramen noodle, you know, broke. Like, you know, government assistance at some points. And it just, I didn't grow up with money. But I met my husband in college. Actually, we met at orientation for college. And we've been together ever since. So through being with him and his education levels and what we have done together, I am in a different class system or a different class privilege than I was when I was growing up. So I see both sides of that spectrum between the gap of people who are oppressed because they're poor and people who have breathing room because we've been looking at houses recently and seeing the nicer neighborhoods having more Biden signs and the lower neighborhoods having a lot more Trump signs. It's like, for me, it's indicative of, okay, people who have money want to keep their money. So they want to vote for the person who's going to allow them to have the best life and keep their money. And if they're voting blue, then why shouldn't you?
Right? It says a lot that you said that, how that seems like those in those areas, the Biden supporters and then the Trump supporters seem to have less. And if you see what he doesn't really promote, like, you know, he's all about, they want to put money back in the economy. It's never for the benefit of the people. You know, it's, you know, it's his agenda, but it's like, but you're not benefiting from it. It's like a temporary fix or whatever whatever's happening here that you think is happening in the long run. How does that affect you? How is what you voting for this person affect you and your family and your kids? That's what nobody's thinking about. It's like, you have to really wake up because we're not going to be here forever. Right. And you have kids, and so you're basically setting their future up, you know, by your decisions that you make.
And that, like, having a child myself, like, I am trying to give him, the way that I view parenting is that I am raising him to be an adult. I need to give him the toolbox that he needs to get through to get through his life. So I need to teach him to have compassion for other people and to be kind and to be helpful. And these are the things, like, as a parent, I feel like it's my job to instill in him.
Yeah.
But also, he has the right to be who he is. So it's very much like raising you to be a good person while also having you having the freedom to make your own mistakes.
Exactly. Yeah. Make your own mistakes and be able to decide, you know what I mean, how you want to live or what you won't accept or will accept. But if you have that respect for life and other people, then it'll most likely it'll be a good turnout. And however, what direction they go in, it won't be on the basis of them, being, you know, horrible people to other people. It'll be on you know, something that's fixable. Because if you're a good person now, if you can get that, you know what I mean, down where you respect the value of life, and that comes with respecting everybody, then the choices and decisions that you make that probably weren't the best, you'll be okay because you're a good person and you're a good-hearted person, and that usually just turns out that way. When you're a good person, you're gonna try, because it's because you're a good person doesn't mean you're not gonna make mistakes. You know what I mean? And you know, have to, you know, fix them, apologize for them, but you'll be able to know that you made those mistakes.
Yeah, we definitely have to allow people grace, because there is a lot of stuff, and a lot of, like, there's a lot of it that even now in 2020, and I consider myself to be a decently educated person, but it's still, even in 2020, I'm realizing the racial disparities and oppression and all of this stuff that I have not seen before. And it's like, coming from a different perspective, it's like, well, how have you not seen this?
Like, right.
Because I was racist. I wasn't openly racist. I just was indifferent.
Yeah. And that's an understanding that people need to get to, what racist is versus they think it's like something more aggressive. And then a lot of people don't understand themselves as a racist if they're a racist. And you said it perfectly. It's just, you know, you're thinking too. And I had this lady, she was on, I don't know if it was TikTok, but she was trying to explain to other white people. They didn't like it. She was like, you're racist. She's like, you're a racist. And she said, most likely, she said, most white people are racist. And then she broke it down. And she started to say, have you ever wanted to go on the other side of the street when you saw a black person? Just little things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That build up. And it's like, that's way of thinking. She said, but the way we see it is just this huge thing. You know what I mean? Which it is, but it can start so little and be and take to another level, but it doesn't mean that you're not right. one.
So, that's another thing that I've learned in 2020, which has kind of been eye-opening for me. Because when I was in college, I was in a sorority, and so I did that whole like going out party girl thing, and it being a woman, you're always taught like, don't go to the bathroom alone, don't go anywhere alone, don't walk by yourself, don't leave your drink unattended. There are all these things that you're supposed to do as a woman to protect yourself. But in 2020, I realized that I am probably more dangerous to a black man on the street than he is to me. Because I can call the cops on him.
That was intense.
And he could lose his life. And, I mean, he's going to walk right by me and do nothing to me. Like,
yep, and I know you've seen it too, like those videos where, and I couldn't believe that people were really doing that, you know, like physically, like, and it's crazy to me because it's like, where have you been all this time? It just took Trump to like give you the pass to say, okay, you can do it like for reals now. And just a person could be playing ball with his kid or sitting on a bench looking at the birds, and the lady hopped on the phone. So there's a black person in the park, and I'm like, you realize he's just sitting there, right? You know, where all this time in your life, this is what you've been holding on to. Like he hasn't touched you. 9 times out of 10, you've probably been abused by your husband. Yeah. You know what I mean? But this guy needs to go to jail. That disturbed me when I saw all the Karens come out and just start acting crazy. Right. I didn't get it. I said, where have they been?
And another thing that we have to...
Are they being taken over by snatchers or something?
Another thing we have to remember is that it's been happening all along. It's just that now we have the technology to record it. And
exactly. We know about it. Yeah. Exactly. We record it and we get to see it.
But we also get to see that the black men are innocent. You know, that it is just like this person going off for nothing. Whereas before, those type of stories, because we didn't have video proof of what happened, made it seem like,
you believe it.
Of course, black people are inherently more vicious than everybody else. Look at what they're doing. But now we're seeing the other side of it where it's like, that's clearly not what happened.
Yeah. And you'll have people see that and still find a way. But no. You're like, just stop it. Stop it. Yeah, it's crazy. 2020, I'm telling you, has been growth. We all at this point probably have mental health. We probably PTSD. I truly, sometimes I'll say it in funny or in lightning, but to be honest with you, half of this, we all probably are suffering from, I mean, look what's going on here. This is crazy. This is intense. We are all suffering. This world is in pain. This nation, this world is, this country, this nation here, people, I see a world of pain from the outside looking in at everybody, a world of pain, hurt, confusion, fear. And it's like, I just want to like give everybody like a big hug. It's like, it's going to be okay. Like, let it go. That's got to be some intense shit to be that hateful towards somebody. And none of them ever look happy. So I'm like, you're just stressed out all the damn time. It's not like you're just smiling. You're like, I hate you. You know, you look really fucking, like you got some heart issues. Yeah. You know what I mean? You look really upset. If this is the way and these things are true that you're believing, why are you so angry? That can't be make for a happy life.
I'm actually diagnosed with PTSD, and it is a very real possibility that there's a lot of people who are dealing with PTSD after this Trump presidency.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yes. And they don't care. You saw how they did us right when the pandemic started, and we started finding about all these deaths, and it hit, and then right away, I felt like when you, first of all, when you shouldn't have opened back up the economy because it never was under control. So you guys are sitting here pondering the numbers. You idiots, you never had it under control. You opened the world back up. That was obvious that was going to happen. It's like opening the, leaving the gate open and the dogs are out. Well, you fucking didn't close it, dumb. You know, and to me, if you really cared about us as a country as a whole, you would have nurtured us. You would have been supportive and been, you know, that we just had this happen. There's people that actually had family members. Those stories I would hear of trying to get somebody to come get the body. It was morbid. And you didn't even think for once. You just jump right back in and say, go to work. An economy versus healing, letting your nation heal, talking to them. And I see Obama doing that, like talking to the nation. You are the fucking president, and say, acknowledging it, saying, I know we just went through this. You know what I'm saying? We need to heal. If people need help, then see any type of therapist or even doctors and nurses were affected. I mean, a doctor had corona and then killed herself. No telling what she saw, all that shit. No, none of those doctors ever seen any this many deaths in their whole entire life until 2020. And you're not even going to once think about us, how we feel as people, what we're going through. That pisses me off very much so, because we are hurting. People are still losing family members because people are saying, oh, it's a hoax. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. And minimizing it. And I had somebody I met the other day, there's another podcaster. He said his brother just died yesterday from corona. And then a few weeks ago, his nephew, they did have preconditioned things, but they were so young. But he said they got corona. And he was just really, so he's definitely got it out for Donald Trump. And then when people take light of it, he said, no matter how you think it got here, if it was set up, whatever, it's still real, you know, and you can catch it and you can die from it. He just lost two family members. And I'm just like, what the hell, man? Of course, he could have stopped this, yes. But we got to start having accountability, too. If you're not, you know what I mean? And start realizing that this isn't as, you know, as light. People have these theories and stuff but the truth of the matter is, it's still killing people. Yeah. Or they get it and they die. However it works, if it triggers this or that, it still plays a part.
Yeah.
In these deaths. And so many.
I don't understand why people want to hold poor people accountable for being poor, but Trump, who lives in government housing, they don't want to hold him accountable for anything.
Nothing.
You want to criminalize people for being poor, but you want to idolize Trump. Like, I don't know.
Yep. Exactly. Which, by the way, he has no problem with people being poor. You know, he does not care. Unless you need, I call Trump, he needs money. He uses money to buy people, to buy you, to do what he needs you to do. Because him on his own, it's
people
nothing.
People are
nothing.
Just avenues of revenue.
Yep. So you never have a friend. That's a shitty life to live, because everybody around you, you can't trust, because you guys are only connected by something, you know what I mean? So that person could throw you under the bus which they've been doing at any time, or when you're not of value anymore, they don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You all right over there?
I finished the last of my drink and like a little bubble caught the back of my throat. Now I'm out.
That happened to me in the beginning. I took it went down the wrong way, and I was like, please don't let me just start coughing. I was like, I had my mouth away from it. I was like,
I'm trying to cover my mouth. And I swear I don't have COVID.
I don't know what's going to happen. I know, right? Like every now I don't even think about it, but in the beginning it was kind of like, if you cough, you know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, like you're scared that people are gonna start thinking,
well, like,
oh my goodness.
I have my medical marijuana card, so I tend to cough a lot anyway, because I'm, so it's like not always good.
Right? You're like, it's not that kind of cough, I swear. It's a good one.
Yeah.
I told that to my one friend. We were on the phone, and I could tell she totally didn't, because she got really quiet. She's like, mm. I was like, dang. Man, like, and that, and it's such a psychological thing. It's like working like a charm. That's how they're getting people to not want to be around each other, distance people, keep us separated, you know, because they know people are by the hype, and which for the most part you can't catch it, but they're priding, they're yeah. off of our fears. Pretty sick government, if you ask me, a sick leadership. That's
like,
and
Obama
all that.
Left a playbook for what to do in a pandemic, and Trump threw it out, and he can say like, oh, I minimized it to, yeah. so people didn't panic or whatever. But an uneducated population is a population that's going to panic. If we had a leader yep. that would have said, hey, look, this is what is coming. This is what we need to prepare for. This is how we do it. These are the steps that we're taking. From the get-go, there exactly. would have been no panic. There would have been no rushing out to buy all the hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
Toilet paper, yeah, everything.
People do that
when
right. they don't
Things
know what
that didn't
to
make
expect.
Sense. Yep.
Yeah.
He knew that. He freaking knew it. And knowing, you know what I mean? Like, it baffles me, the 1918. And people were talking about the similarities and exact, and there was like two people from that time when they had that survived, you know, mm-hmm. those pandemics. And one of them, I don't know if she's still alive. She's already pretty old then. She explained what happened and the death rates and but they didn't have like, okay, masks and all that stuff, but all the stuff they did not do, which if you took that history, which history should help you learn mm-hmm. what not to do and do better, but have very similar outcomes even now, because they did the same exact thing. They went back out and the numbers were massive, even more when the second wave came. And the man that was talking, he said it even was the same thing when it came down to government, that the people, the politicians and business people were pressing on the you know, the ones in charge, whatever, to open the economy back up, like, just, you know, all that, the shit that were like following right now. So it was only inevitable to happen. But I remember what he did say. The lady asked him, what would you say to right now, to the world, to the people, to the government, you know, to leadership? And he said, I would say, because there was a lot of manipulation and lies then too, he said, I would say, be honest with the people. He said, people can handle it. He said, be honest. He said, when people don't know, he said the same exact thing that you're saying. So when they don't know, and that you get chaos, you don't, you know what I mean, you're right. you don't know what to do, you know, because, but if you tell them what they're dealing with, people can take it. And he said, tell the truth, and look where we are right now. You have a whole, you mm-hmm. had a playbook from Obama, and you got history itself, which is kind of creepy how that, and then, you know what I mean, how we can be sitting here with the same, kind of like the same result, but that we also paid it, we right. know we have the history. The good thing about history is we have it to not make those same mistakes, and we do it again. And it's like yeah. it's getting pretty old to me, right? Actually, I'm just like, come on. Yeah. We're in 2020 and you're telling me we still are out here with this rate, like racial stuff, like over color and what people are born and look. At least, I mean, come on, at least come with something else. This is why you hate me. You hate me because I screwed right. your brother or sister, or I did something to you.
It's like, baby, there are so many reasons that you could hate me. Like, pick one of those.
Right? Oh, like, come on. History, you've been here. You haven't been in some bubble. You can clearly see. You have saw good people, good black people, good bad white people, bad men. Yeah. It's not about color. If you're good, you're good. You're bad, you're bad. We have them every color, right. every shade. And you've seen it, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's crazy to me how we're still going off of this race thing. Bad is bad, good is good, and the color doesn't make you better than, or, you know what I mean? So the ignorance is just astounding.
Y'all,
that we're willing to
y'all
willing
women
be ignorant.
Some magic that y'all need to start sharing. Like, that's all I got to
say. They don't want it. They don't want it. Shoot, they don't want it. They try to throw it back and say it's something else.
I don't know what you know. Like, I don't know. You guys are just magic. Black women are just.
Well, I'd rather you say magic versus you. So you guys are so strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it that part, like, right. I mean, I think people, you know what I mean, are strong, because I think women in general, we definitely as women, no matter what race, need to be, because we share some common things that we are, how right. we're designed and made, you know, and it's like, I think that we need to care about each other more. Of course, people, when you have these things in life like this that come about, like, especially in the Black community, and when people say, like, how it, you know, it's just, no matter what, people are going to just label everything as racist. So if Black people decide they want to, like, have something where Black women grow together and start treating each other better, oh, that's racist, it's only for Black people. Well, I mean, there is some issues going on here.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Get to love when, because there's things in every culture and every, you know, that need to be worked on. But if you're willing to do that, then you're willing to do it as a whole. But, like, I've seen amazing, strong women. I don't even like labeling it as white women, Tang women, that woman, because you're just the fact that you're a woman. You know what I mean? You're a woman. That's why I want to, because we all, as women, go through some stuff that people will never really understand. Just being that, that's how people perceive us. You know, and we're something as of use to somebody.
And I think that's why my current passion is Black women being slept on for too long. But because it's at my, before 2020, I've always been very like, I'm a feminist, that equal rights, like that it is what it is. If you don't like it, leave. And so then, you know, with 2020 and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and getting on TikTok, it's opened my eyes to a lot more of the racial disparities. So now I'm seeing the disparities between white women and Black women and how I've been treated versus how other people have been treated. So it's like I'm trying to take my experience as a white woman and put myself in the shoes of people who are women but not white, or people, you know, and I just try to see like the commonalities that I have with everybody.
But yeah,
women especially.
Yeah, and you know the great thing about that, is that you're willing to you know what I mean? You chose, you know, but you had a way of thinking, but you adapted. You saw and you wanted better. Yeah. You wanted to learn. You know, because like you said, like some people don't get that opportunity or they don't want to. They're sheltered, but you allowed yourself to. You were open to it. You know, you just didn't have like some. You weren't just stuck on like you weren't because you weren't hateful.
Yeah,
you just had a way of thinking. You know what I mean? So you're just like, I don't want to. No, I don't want to. You know that those people. You know, it was just you didn't know no better. And so ignorance doesn't always have to be like a bad word. Because I've been ignorant to a lot of things.
Ignorant, you know? Is just uneducated.
But you were like willing to learn.
Just not having the education that you need to approach that subject.
Exactly. Now, I use it in a term a lot of times when I know you're being willing for it. I never said that right. Willingly ignorant. Now, that's a problem to me. You know? Because it's like, you don't want to grow. You're willing to hold your own self back. But that comes from fear. You know, people are scared. This is a world full of just people just confused and scared. And our leadership is not helping it. They're not diffusing it. A leader should be someone that wants to speak positivity, truth, and healing into their... And especially if you want to be the leader, I find it pretty morbid to want to run a country... And then running into the ground, like, you're a sick individual. Like, why do you want to be the leader? That tells me something psychologically is way off. I want to lead people and then I want to destroy them and watch them suffer. Like, who does some type of shit? Like, you know what I mean? It's like somebody that abuses animals, like, and they get animals and they like to mess with it and abuse it and see it hurt. That's the way I look at it for us, you know, human beings, because we're all being used and manipulated. All of white, Black, all of us are for somebody else's agenda. And it pisses me off because nobody wants us to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then don't do it because these same very people, they care. Yeah. They have families. They care about their families. They love them. So then what makes you think that we don't? Would you want someone doing that? I always tell people, how would you feel if it was you? How would you feel if it was your child? How would you feel if you just woke up one day and vice versa? And people were attacking you and your child came home crying every day because someone told her because her skin color or something like that. Nobody would like it. You have to put yourself in other people's
shoes.
That's
something that I try to do. That's basically all I try to do. I try to see everything from other people's perspectives because, like, I don't know. I've lived my life. I've done, like, I want to hear other people's stories. I want to hear where other people, I want to know the stuff that makes other people's eyes light up or that they think about when they go to bed or, you know, I that's the stuff that I like, the emotional part of communicating with people.
You have empathy and all that. You care. And I think that's a lot of too, is a lot of personality. I think some people have the personality for that too. You know, that makes them tick. They thrive, you know, off of it. Because you can have dry people that are like, I don't care. But you can still get them to the point where they're not hateful. Yeah. You know what I mean? They can still get it, but they still never really thrive. They don't, at this point, they don't care if you're white, black. Yeah. They don't like anybody. I can respect that. Right. You just don't like people. Yeah. That's what Rochety. It look like. Yeah, right? So yeah, most definitely. And I think that's why I think it's important for us to be able to to talk about these things, especially with different, you know, like when we did the round table, it was like all of us were, you know, of different, you know, of races, and we could still all come together and talk about some common stuff, talk about the problems and actually, you know, be honest. And I like that. Joy had said that it felt good to be able to talk about these things and not be attacked. And I think that's important to have a good, healthy environment where we can talk about
where
these things.
Where we can have conversations,
you know what I mean? Because they
not
need
debates.
To be.
Because it's not about coming at each other.
And be allowed to say the ignorance. Yes. And be allowed to say how you think, even if you don't want to, because it could go back either way on either side. Like, if that person says something and why they are racist or why they think something, then we all have to be willing to allow them to, that's the only way we're going to get somewhere, you know what I mean, to talk about it, and then maybe you'll see a different result. But if you start attacking and don't want to hear that person, then how are we supposed to teach one another? We have to have some kind of a little sort of tolerance if your goal is change. And if your goal is change, then you have to change your thinking too, be a little bit more tolerable. You have boundaries, obviously. You're not going to just let somebody just be disrespectful, but we do. But now if you're not looking for change, some people just like to argue. I'm not with it. Where are we getting to? Where's our goal? Is it getting us anywhere?
I think that's a lot of people on TikTok. They just want to argue for the sake of arguing. But
yeah,
there's a lot of people who, I don't know, I just think for me, I would rather have a conversation and listen to your points so I can understand them versus listening to you so I can respond and change your opinion or change your view. Yeah.
Yep. And that's what they do.
Like, I don't want to, I'm sorry, my alarm went off. I got sidetracked.
That's okay.
But yeah, I just,
you're not trying to convince anybody to think like you, like convince them to,
I have my personal beliefs. I have, you know, and I'm pretty solid in those beliefs and how I view the world. I'm interested in what other people think, and it's not necessarily because I want them to agree with me. It's, I find it interesting. If we have a conversation, like, there are definitely that if I have a conversation with my friends and they don't agree with something that I, like, if we don't meet eye to eye on something, depending on what it is, I'm going to try and sway the way that they think, the same way that they're doing to me. But that's not my intention with every single conversation I have with every single person.
Yeah,
a lot of
exactly.
This becomes like a personality trait for them.
Totally. Yep. Definitely. It makes for a very unhealthy environment, and that's why I really haven't came across too many, but I refuse to engage because I'm not going to nurture that. You know what I mean? Because with a lot of people, right. and they start off with good intentions, but you can see it take a toll. It's like, don't keep having to explain this stuff to people. Like, they know. At some point, they're not as stupid as you think they are. They know this stuff because they're getting a rise out of you. You know what I mean? It's like, if you just let it go. You've done your job. You did. Now, it's the seed is planted, but just to keep throwing facts and facts and back and forth and this and that, and you think you're doing something good, but you have to look at the outcome.
Yeah.
You look really stressed.
Yeah.
you're upset. Then that's when you need to realize, okay, you know what? Maybe I should take a break and just, you know, because you shouldn't have to go into it like that. Like, you should be able to be, there's some people that can be very laxed, even in those settings, and they know how to talk to people, even in the most hateful words that come out, you know, because you can't let it trigger you, because then that doesn't get anywhere. You have to kind of play sometimes, if you're really trying to get somewhere, to another level, and kind of bring it down a notch or two. And you can't go above.
Yeah.
You have to stay kind of low to for anybody to even hear you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see a lot of people get stressed out on TikTok. Like,
at the end of the day, you're only raising your own pressure. Like, by letting it get.
Exactly. Started. Like, they don't get it, then fine. Right. Then they're having a good time. So it's like they're using your energy when you could be using that energy somewhere else with somebody that is willing to receive it.
Like, there's so many better ways that people could spend their time. And I mean, somebody could say, like, well, you're on TikTok in the first place, so you could have better uses of your time. But it's actually given me.
Well, I think everybody should be on TikTok, because I learned a lot of shit on there.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me, Brandy J, Voices of Courage 2020 Rise, with my second time guest, Queen Antifa. It was a pleasure, and I hope you guys enjoyed. I also hope that some of you gained from being able to listen to two different people that come from two different, similar possibly, backgrounds, but we're able to talk about their differences. We're able to talk about these current things that are going on right now as we speak. And we spoke about them in a respectful manner. And if it was between that and the violence that we see today, the disrespect, the absurdness, the downright disgusting behaviors, well, which one would you choose? And then figure out if you are the part of the problem or part of the solution. Once again, thank you so much. This is Brandy J, Voices of Courage. 2020. Come back real soon now.